Hey guys, welcome back to episode 16 of A Podcast Because Nobody Asked For It. I'm joined today by a good family friend of ours and Philadelphia Phillies prospect, Jesus Izquierdo. Jesus, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man? Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to have you. I've been looking forward to this all week. This is a pretty historic night for both of us. I think it's your first podcast.
Yes.
First time I've ever had a professional athlete. So historic night for both of us. I'm very excited.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you were drafted. And, well, I wanted to have you on because I want to give listeners like a behind-the-scenes look of what the life is like of a professional athlete.
Okay.
So you were drafted by the Phillies in
Correct.
The 25th round, 2017. What was draft day like? Because you had a pretty good idea that you were going to get drafted, right?
Well, not really. It was a bit different. I kind of had my bags ready because I was going to go visit my dad. He's mm-hmm. in the high A. He's a hitting coach for the Royals. Mm-hmm. And I went over there and visited and kind of just took all my stuff because it was around the draft day. And I was hoping. I mean, I didn't really know. I had a couple of calls, but it's never really 100%.
Right.
That day, I can tell you that it was crazy. That day, I had a lot of emotions because, you know, as a little kid, that's all you want. You just want a shot to go play and pursue your dream. And yeah, I got drafted in the 25th round with the Phillies.
And you, what was the call like? Where were you? Who were you with?
Okay, I was actually at my dad's game in the dugout.
Okay.
And I had my dad's phone and some earphones, and I was just going through the draft. You know, the third day, it goes by quick.
Yeah.
And you were just listening. I had a call around the 15th round about a couple teams saying that I was going to get drafted. They go by and then nothing.
Yeah.
Then got in the 19th round and then nothing. And then all of a sudden I get a call from the Phillies on the 24th round saying that I was going to get drafted next round. And it was crazy. Yeah. It happened, and right away you get a call from there with ticket information.
Yeah. You
got
and
ready
report.
To go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you know the Phillies were interested? You talk about other teams, like before the draft process, that day. Did you know there was a chance that Philadelphia really wanted you?
Not really. You know, because of my dad, I know a little bit how the scouting, you know, works. You get when you get a report, if a scout gets a report on you, it's kind of sent to a lot of other organizations,
right.
other scouts. And you kind of know about the player. A lot of scouts know about the player. I didn't really have a solid conversation with them. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of took me by surprise. But, you know, I was grateful for that.
Yeah. What was the first season of pro ball like?
It was, I can tell you, it was a lot of nervous. Like, it was it was a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, stepping up the first at bat to my first ground ball. Mm-hmm. Fans.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy. But, I will never forget that.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to settle in, to kind of get comfortable of like, okay, this is what I'm playing in front of. I'm playing for the Phillies now. I would imagine that takes a while for the nerves to settle in.
Absolutely. It took me definitely a couple games.
Yeah.
A couple games. For me, it was mainly the first ground ball, the first mm-hmm. pitch. As soon as I get those over with, then it's ready to play for me.
Yeah.
But it was crazy to be able to, you know, be there. And I can tell you, I mean, my first at bat, my legs were shaking. First ground ball, it was wild.
What was your first hit? Do you remember?
Yes, my first hit was, I didn't get a hit my first game. Mm-hmm. My second game I played it, I got a hit to right field. Mm-hmm. First at bat, so I got it over with away.
Oh, that's nice, yeah. What pitch was it?
Fastball away.
Yeah. Just shoot it the other
yes,
way. Nice.
Yes.
There you go. What are pro ball pitchers like? I would imagine it's a little different than anything you had faced before.
Oh, absolutely. First guy I faced was throwing 97.
Yeah. I feel like at that lower level, guys that just got drafted, it's like 97, but not a lot of command too.
No, absolutely. You got guys from other countries, Dominican, Puerto Ricans, everywhere, and Venezuelans, and they throw really hard, and you know, you just gotta be you gotta be ready for it. I mean, I come from a JUCO, mm-hmm. and you don't see a lot of speed coming that way like that too. So you know, you just gotta be ready for it. But it usually takes a couple of games,
yeah,
and then you can perform.
What's the hardest you've ever faced?
This year, last year it was the Yankees. I played face a lefty throwing 98.
So you haven't seen triple digits yet?
No, I haven't seen them.
Thank goodness.
Thank God. Let's keep it that way, please.
That's awesome. Well, my older brother's with us. He can chime in. Connor, you have any questions so far?
Yeah, actually. So when did you make the decision that, because I know you had a, maybe some people don't know that you had a full ride to, what was it, UC Santa Barbara?
UC Santa Barbara, yeah.
Okay, so when did you make the decision that you were going to, if a team called, you were going to go with the team instead of go to school?
Well, that decision, it was very, very tough because obviously my family wanted me to get an education, get a degree. But, you know, a lot of people do not know that, but, you know, my dream as a little kid was for me to be able to go out there, have fun, and play the game that I love.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Kind of have a shot. So I kind of, it was difficult, but at the same time, I kind of just view it right away for me signing.
Yeah, because you're like, I feel like at that point, you're kind of betting on yourself. You know?
Yes.
You're like, who knows if I go play two more years of college, who knows? You know, I could get hurt. I could, you know, teams might not be as interested. So at that point, I feel like, you know, take the money.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to get on the system already and as young as possible.
Yeah, you're not getting any younger.
No, that's I'm not. Trust me. And I wanted to get be there as soon as possible so I can settle in, be young, and they can work with me, have a better shot for me to make it to the bigs.
Okay, and another question. So a lot of people probably don't know this, but the last time we talked, you told me about like choosing to go pro, but the Phillies or any organization will pay for your education, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so can you kind of explain that?
Yeah, that's kind of a deal that you do with the scouts.
So like if you're, let's not use you as an example, but anybody, let's say, you know, they go pro, things don't work out, they can go back to school.
Yes.
And their club will pay for it.
Yes. They'll give you how it works. They'll talk to you, business talk about how much money mm-hmm. you will give, but that money will go strictly to school education. Yeah. That's it. You can't use it for your own. That will be for whatever university you want to go to and get a career.
Yeah. That's crazy because, you know, a lot of those guys, it's like baseball's their entire life and they really don't have anything to fall back on.
Yeah, which is great that you have that. That's one of the things that I was grateful for. You know,
you
sign and then you get some... You get like a backup plan. Obviously, you don't think about the backup plan because you want to go all the way, but you at least have that on your, you know, you have that with you mm-hmm. that if something goes wrong, something happens with you, you can go to school and finish your education.
Yeah. Okay. So back to like, this is like a baseball related question, but who would you say maybe is like your favorite player right now, or who do you kind of try to model your own game after? I'll tell you who I think you remind me of after you give me an answer. So who do you think?
I like Francisco Lindor.
Okay. That's exactly what I was
That's what it was.
You're like a hybrid between Frankie Lindor and Jose Altuve.
Yes, those are definitely my two favorite baseball players.
Okay.
Not only because the position they play, but the passion. And it's all about baseball. With those guys, so
yeah, this journalism stuff is easy. No, I think like obviously, you know, Lindor and Altuve like aren't the biggest guys, and I mean it's, you know, it's not an insult or anything, but it's no secret that you're not 6'5" or anything. So I think like you said, the passion that they play with, their size, and like I've never seen you not smiling, and I've also never seen Francisco Lindor not smiling. So I think both of you guys have fun with what you do, and yeah, just like the
passion. Thank you. You know, it's like I look up to those guys because, you know, obviously in this game, what I love about this game is that size really doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Jose Altuve, you look at a lot of, not just him, a lot of the baseball players nowadays, they're not really that tall or big. They just kind of play their game.
Yeah. What's Marcus Stroman's thing? HD. Yeah, height doesn't measure heart.
Yeah.
That's Marcus Stroman's thing. It's kind of lame, but it's cool.
When was the first time you played in front of? When did you start getting scouted?
I started getting, in high school. I wasn't a lot. Yeah. But I was getting looked at a little bit. It got more intense Glendale Community College. Yeah.
What do you remember about the first time playing in front of a scout?
In front of a scout, honestly, you don't really think about it too much. I mean, there's, you know, I was able to play with teammate Blake Perkins, and he brought a lot of scouts into the game. But it was kind of like I had a lot of fun because it was like he's giving me a shot too.
Yeah.
This guy's not just look at one player, they look at everybody in there. That's how everybody gets discovered. Yes, absolutely. So you go there and you give it all, you have fun, and it's awesome because you notice that there's somebody looking at you that is willing, that is able to make you play in the next level.
Yeah. Funny story, just random. I pitched against you one time. It was just a scrimmage. I was pitching.
I think I remember.
And if I remember correctly, you damn near took my head off. You sent one up the middle, and I just remember ducking and go, holy, oh my God.
Yeah. When was that? That was freshman?
That was my sophomore. I was a sophomore.
Yes, correct. Yeah. That was, yeah, that's.
You're probably like, ooh. Probably at 65. Yeah.
He's crafty. He's crafty. I tell you that.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
You just got to wait. It's like a beach ball by the time it gets there. So you report to spring training, Clearwater, Florida, on March 4th. What is, when you get down there, what's a regular day like?
Okay, so I report March 4th. We get there. We go straight to the hotel. The next day, that's when we have physicals. We have to wake up, I believe, at that time at 5 in the morning and then get it all done. We have agilities, a bunch of testing that they do just to see if you're ready, if you actually did stuff on your off season.
Yeah.
And overall, kind of making sure that you're okay, that you can play if you can't see or you're hurt. So it's a really intense day because there's a lot of guys doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's necessary.
Yeah. How many guys report then on March 4th?
It's a lot of guys, hundreds of guys, yeah. It's a lot of guys. I mean, they do cut a lot of people, but every day, it's a lot of guys fighting for the same spot.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Can that get weird, like in the locker room, that, like, you are essentially fighting for this guy's job next to you? Like, is that weird? I would imagine that gets a little awkward.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning it is, because you don't, but then you get to know them a lot. You get to know them a lot. Obviously, you're competing for a job. If this is a guy that you're competing and he's for the same spot, then yeah, I mean, it's a job. It's serious. Yeah. But at the same time, you don't think about it. You go there and have fun. And that's pretty much all you have to do. I mean, you got to remember, like I always say, and I tell Connor a lot, is, you know, this is a game. And it will eat you. It will eat you alive if you don't have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you got to take it serious because it's your job, but you got to have fun.
Yeah. So you get there March 4th. You start doing stuff right away. When do games start?
Games start a week after that.
Okay.
So and,
right away.
Yeah, right away. The next day, you go a normal day with ground balls, hitting in the field. You probably see track pitches, running.
Yeah.
We do a lot of testing and get ready, because it's right away.
Yeah, it's like Connor's got a question again.
Okay, so with like the new age of baseball, and I guess all sports, how heavy are the Phillies on analytics, and what do you think about analytics? Because I feel like a lot of guys are either super for it or super against it, and I think, I mean, the game has changed so much in the last couple of years that some teams, maybe the term like paralysis by analysis, where they're, you know, super, super heavy on analytics. So how are the Phillies on that?
The Phillies are huge.
Okay.
Huge on that.
And how, what do you feel?
I feel okay. It's good. It's another tool.
Okay.
It's another tool. I mean, I look at it that way. At the beginning, I was kind of iffy about it. Because, you know, it's kind of like you're taking away the fun.
Yeah, I remember you telling me the last time we hung out, you were saying, like, you squared up a ball perfectly, and then your dad was looking at the iPad, and he's like, yeah, that's wrong.
Yes, it's like the pad, the bat path, the angle, the launch angle,
so how
all
much,
that stuff.
Like, when you're hitting or doing whatever, how much are you thinking about that? Yeah, or even in a game.
No, like, in a game you don't think about anything. Okay. You go over there and you perform. In practice is when it gets tricky. Yeah. That's when they start using all these devices that, you know, it honestly helps you. I mean, you can see how your swing is doing, the spin of the ball. You can see a lot of things. And I look at it as a tool.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? If you're helping me.
Yeah, if it's there.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely. There why not use
better.
It?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That was my question.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like now I have the stupidest question ever. That was a good question. So when games start, and so you are done for the day at like what time?
I have to report around 6, and a normal spring training day, I'll get back around 3 or 4.
Yeah. So what do you do the rest of the day?
I sleep.
Sleep the rest of the day.
I sleep and then I wake up, get dinner, and then I go back to sleep.
Okay.
I mean, you are exhausted every day going and competing. Like,
are you free to like do whatever you want the rest of the day, or are you like
restricted? No. After you go to your designated hotels, and then from there you can do whatever you like. There is curfew. Well, the Phillies do curfew. I don't know other organizations, but they do curfew. But you know, it's pretty much being responsible. I mean, yeah, they're taking care of you. You don't want to be messing around. It's your job. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Especially like if a guy's messing around, there are so many guys that it's like the Phillies could easily be any organization could easily be like, all right, just go away.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll just cut you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of expectations do you have for yourself this season? 2019.
Well, it's a lot of a mental side of it. I get to my head a lot. My first couple of years when things weren't going my way, I kind of be too hard on myself, and that leads me to another bad game, and then just keep going. So I was taking away the fun of it, and that's what my dad and I were, you know, thinking more about, not only the skills, but see the mental side of it, because this is a mental game.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, it's not, it does take skills, but it's all mental.
And how you recover mentally.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's a game of failure.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be strong and be positive every day, and usually things will work out.
Yeah. What's it like to play in front of a crowd?
Nervous. I have never, last year was my first year playing in front of a crowd, and it was, I was very nervous.
Yeah. How many people?
There's probably like 5,000 people in there. And
minor league games get packed.
Yes.
Minor league.
From like coming from, we'll say high school or club ball or even JUCO, like I imagine not that many people.
No. In my JUCO, I had a couple, I probably have like 30 people.
Parents.
Yeah, pretty much parents. Yeah. Yeah. And then right away you get to a lot of people. You got a lot of, kids watching you, and you know, they ask for balls, signatures. Yes.
Like for spring training in Arizona, like, you know, you can just walk up to pretty much anybody and ask for autographs and stuff, and sometimes they'll do it, sometimes they don't. So I remember, like, specifically when I was younger, like players that would sign stuff for me and my siblings, and then players that wouldn't. And I feel like I remember the players that would not sign more than I remember the players that would. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I can tell you right now, Johnny Peralta did not sign a baseball for me. And then he came on the Tigers a couple years after that. And I always, like, I loved when he would, like, you know, play well. Yeah, same with Victor Martinez. Like, I loved watching them play. But always in the back of my mind, I was like, you did not sign a baseball for my 7-year-old sister. Like, what is the matter with you? So, how are you with kids?
Oh no, I was one of those kids. No, absolutely not. I was one of those kids.
Yeah, see, that's absolutely. I think that's important to remember.
It's all about this. It's all about, it's a game.
Yeah,
it's a game. I mean, obviously, you have other people that have different views, about their signatures, but I can never say no.
Okay,
I can't say no to somebody.
In 5 years, I'm gonna show up at what is it, Citizens Bank Park. Yep.
Correct.
I will be at Citizens Bank Park asking for Jesus Suarez's autograph. And if you big league me, I'm going to pull up this podcast. And
No. Okay. Make sure you record it.
Okay.
So post it in.
Just expose it.
Yes.
Okay. No, that's, I figured you wouldn't like big league people.
No, and it's huge. It's huge because, I mean, you never know. you might think this is the guy that, yeah, let me ask the signature for this guy, and then all of a sudden he walks past you.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I mean, like I said, I remember it.
Yeah,
I
was, absolutely. Those are the things that you're going to remember.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, you know, kids are watching you, a grown man, play a child's game.
Yes.
You know, you are getting paid to play a game.
Yes.
So yeah, it's so, so crazy.
You remember Robinson Cano that 1 year?
I don't want to talk about that.
1 year we lined up. It was like his first year that he was in Seattle. Yeah. So they're out. They're out here in Peoria, and we line up, and we're like, can we get an autograph? And he was like, nah, it's Sunday. I don't sign on Sundays.
And
oh,
at
wow.
At the time, I was like 18, and I'm like way too old to ask for autographs, but it was Robinson Cano, so I was going to make that exception. Like, he's my favorite player to ever, you know, pick up a baseball. So, yeah, he was – there were a bunch of people there, but we caught him at a time where there weren't too many people around, and we're like, hey, can you sign a ball? And he's like, no, it's Sunday. I'm like, okay, I didn't ask, you know, I know it's Sunday. I know I'm not.
Yeah, you're not going to argue with him at that point.
But I'm like, what do you mean it's Sunday? He's like, I don't sign on Sundays. I'm like, I feel like he would give that same answer on, you know, Wednesday. You know, oh, I don't sign on Wednesday. So maybe. But that's the thing. Like, I remember that, you know? And every time I watch him, I'm like, you know, I love you, but.
You didn't sign a baseball for me, yeah.
I could have a ball in my room, you know, signed by you.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, it was Sunday, man.
Yeah.
You got to remember.
That's a good excuse, though. If there are too many kids asking for your autograph, you might have to tuck that one away. That's a good one.
I can't believe he even used that, man, to be honest.
What's, all right, guys, it's a Friday.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever signed?
Have you
signed like a baby or anything?
No, not a baby. Not a baby. I signed a lot of things. Shoes, hats.
Shoes?
Yeah, I signed shoes, hats. And it's really, I mean, they just go for every signature.
Yeah.
Like every guy around. No,
yeah.
But you get people.
Okay,
you get
grown men.
Yes, you get adults in
grown
there
men
that
collecting baseball cards.
Yes.
I've
yeah.
seen that. That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of information.
And you
yeah.
know what? It's the craziest thing. I never see them there with their wives. So I'm assuming they're single guys.
That's a big assumption right there.
Yeah.
They're older than you, and they're like, hey, let me get your autograph.
Yeah, I mean, most of the
guys.
It is
yes,
strange.
Yes, correct. Yeah. You see them a lot. You see them a lot. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I haven't really had a bad experience.
Okay.
And they're very nice, but they do have a lot of information and a lot of cards, a lot of...
They're telling you stuff that you don't even know about yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, like information like what?
Just baseball players.
Okay.
That have a lot of signatures.
Yeah.
They know a lot of, you know, when you were born, all
that
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can find out. You can find it pretty much on the internet, but
yeah.
They have it on paper.
But yeah, and to remember that.
Yes, and they can have a good conversation with you. About your life, pretty much.
So how do they start that conversation? Like, do they say, hey, you were born in...
Well, they just come up to you, they ask for a signature, and then from there, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And most of the minor leagues, you have a day before the season where
right.
it's like a meet the fans,
yeah.
And you go outside, you sit down, on the table, and you got all the fans coming around you, and then you sign whatever they can, you know, whatever they have.
Yeah.
And it's a good chance for you to have conversations with them too. So, yeah.
I would imagine that's kind of fun.
It is. It is fun.
People
last year was my first year doing that, and it was,
yeah.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
You get there maybe 30 minutes. It's like a 30, 45 minute. And then you're signing, having conversation. You get to meet some awesome people, and it's awesome because they're over there supporting you. And, you know, hoping for the best for you to move up to the next level. So
that's
great.
Yeah. So the 5,000 people that are at the games, are they like season ticket holders?
Yes. They
really?
have, well, not all of them,
right.
But you, a
so
lot
So they
of
get
them.
To know the players.
Yes. They
yeah.
get to know the players. Usually you get on a small town, like my first year I was in Williamsport Crosscutters in
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very small town, small place, and pretty much it's baseball.
Yeah, it's like minor league baseball.
Yes,
yeah,
it's just nothing else,
yeah.
And you get to know the players, you get to know a lot. You go out, you're going to be able to see a lot of people. But yeah, they get to meet you, and the coaches and watch the game.
Yeah. Have you ever had your name chanted? Like, do they ever do something specifically for you?
Well, in second, when I was playing on the field, every time you would make a play, they'll say your last name like 3 times.
Okay.
Like very loud.
Yeah.
And sometimes they are very rude too.
Yeah.
Yes,
I'm
absolutely.
Sure.
And not just the fact that you make an error just out of nowhere. Yeah. They kind of trying to mess with your head. And that's what the mental part of it comes in. You have to be able to block all that kind of stuff.
So that's annoying,
'cause you shouldn't have to deal with that. But I mean, I get it. Like, people are just naturally rude. But these are like grown adults.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are kids trying to make it, you know, as a professional baseball player. And, you know, grown adults that like work desk jobs or whatever they do. You know, who knows what they do during their day. But they come out and like roast you. For
you should be able to go to their job and just yell at them. Like, if they're like a cashier.
Well, you know, I'm really not like that. You know, I'm really not like that. But they do come out. I remember clearly, I would go play at the, against St. Louis State College.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was a beautiful stadium. A lot of fans. I'm seeing double the 5,000. It was a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
And you see people just, you know, they're fans talking to you on the field. You say, hey, number four, you suck. Oh, this and that. Hey, number four, you're going to miss this ground ball. And it's just like every second, every pitch, something new.
How do you block that out?
Well, at the beginning, it's very hard because you're not used to it. I mean, that was my first couple games playing pro, and I was like, what's going on over here? Like, these guys are really gonna make me make an error right now. What's going on?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I know, like, if I'm at a baseball game and I can hear like a heckler yelling at the left fielder doesn't do anything, he's just like taking it all in. It's kind of funny because you think like, oh, they must not hear him.
No.
They must not.
I won't name names, but okay. I was at a Padres game a couple years ago, and there was this guy sitting next to us that was just so like obnoxiously drunk, and he was yelling things at this player, and this player, who will remain nameless, but he also goes by Justin Upton,
jeez,
turned around, raised his middle finger at this guy as the third out was made, and as Justin Upton is running off the field, this guy's still going at him. And Justin Upton just raises his middle finger, puts it behind his back, and so the guy could see it.
And
no one else could see it. And then Justin Upton just walks off the field with his middle finger up.
Oh,
like,
my God. You know, those are the exception.
Yeah.
There's some guys that, I mean, those guys are big league guys. They can probably get away with a lot of them.
Yeah.
You just got to be careful. You got to be careful with what you do.
So many people are watching.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of kids. You have to be careful. You don't have to deal with all that stuff.
The big league level, I feel like it gets personal because your life is more on display.
Absolutely.
So the stuff, they know way more about Justin Upton than they do some other guys.
Personal stuff too that they get brought up on.
So like, I see where the middle finger came from because this guy was just being, you know, a douche to Justin Upton. So it was absolutely deserved. But like, I can't imagine, you know, just going on the road like that, and then people just, like you said, screaming at you to mess up.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, it's fun. I mean, it's fun for them.
Really?
It's fun for them. They go watching the game with their families or by themselves, having a good time, maybe get a couple of drinks, and just enjoying it. I mean, sometimes you're going to say some you know, unnecessary stuff, but you try to block it. You try to block it. You're over there to do your job, have fun, play the game. I really don't listen too much about all that stuff.
Yeah.
I go over there and play. I mean, I could care less, to be honest.
Good for you. I'm not that strong. I feel like I would be like, they're like, hey, you suck. And I'd turn around like, do you mean that? You think so?
Say that to another person. You know, because obviously you don't.
I mean, you don't know them. I mean, you actually don't know the guy. You just see him play, and all of a sudden you're saying all this unnecessary stuff.
Sounds so cheesy. You don't know what they're going through. Yes, they make millions of dollars playing. You don't know what they're going through.
They make millions of dollars to play a game. You know, you're sitting there yelling for no reason.
Just because they make millions of dollars, you think, hey, I can scream at them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. that's the thing that you have to. I mean, once you make it over there, you have to. I'm sure they talk to you about yeah. it. All the baseball.
That that's something that you have to like learn to block out.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So you have to just, you know, it's something that you have to deal. Yeah. You have to deal with. But to be honest, it's a good thing to deal with, yeah, cuz it's nothing. It's really like nothing.
In the case of all professional athletes, like they're just treated like a piece of meat, you know?
They're yeah.
seen as someone that can make the owners a lot of money, and you know, we don't necessarily care what they put their body through to get to that point, you know? So you know, you're putting so much on the line for your organization or your team, and then, you know, it's
crazy. It's yeah. crazy because I mean, this relates to baseball, but I mean, we can talk about all the sports that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about football. Football, yeah. it's crazy. Those yeah. guys put a lot of, you know, a lot of pressure, a lot yeah. of their bodies go through a lot of stuff yeah. for, you know,
and to get around. The bottom line is, you know, you're a human being, you're a person.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, obviously Griffin and I aren't professional baseball players, but we're humans too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's you know, it's just kind of like, just like I say, I mean, you can't, and you're not going to change that. That's just going to continue. That's going to continue for many, many years. Baseball is not going to, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. That's not going to change. I mean, you can see a little change with the analytics and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff, but it's going to, you're still going to have a bat. You're still going to have to throw the ball. That's not going to change. So, and you're still going to have fans that are not going to be on the same page with you mm-hmm. for some reason. And that's something that you have to deal. I yeah. mean, same with the kids. I mean, you have thousands of kids looking at you, not only in the game, in TV, and you are representing your organization. So you have to be careful what you say, what you do. And that's something that you should really, really focus, because mm-hmm. you know, it's your job.
Yeah. All right. So I have a question. So you mentioned earlier, your dad is with the Kansas City Royals. So yes. What does your dad?
He's the hitting coach.
He's the hitting coach. Okay. At what level?
High A.
High A. Okay. So right now, for an example, it's the off season.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's say you know you're out hitting with your dad. Does he tell you things? Like what you can work on that are different to what the Phillies tell you, and if so, like who do you listen to?
No, honestly, it's pretty much the same. They don't try to change. I mean, now once like you make it, it's not drastic changes that they do with you.
Okay.
Little things. My dad tries to help me more on the mental side of it. Okay. The Phillies have helped me a lot of, you know, a little bit of the stance. You know, get up a little bit. Yes, absolutely. Yes, it is. But my dad doesn't really like to get all that stuff, even though he's a hitting coach. Mm-hmm. He already taught me a lot when I was a little kid. And, you know, obviously you still learn. It's never a ending learning.
Yeah.
So you listen to him, and it's more the mental side. I can say I listen to both.
Okay.
And I try my hardest to, you know,
balance both.
Yes, absolutely.
So the people that pay you or the guys that created you? You talk about the Phillies. They teach you how to handle fans and stuff like that. What do they teach you? What do you mean by that?
Pretty much the block focus.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna have rude people coming to your game. And you know, it's pretty much just playing the game. You mean you are there to go to the next level. You can't just have this little thing completely mess up your
right
you know,
whole
your
night
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just have to be able to block it. That's more personal stuff. You should be able to be strong enough to block whatever's coming to you negative.
Yeah.
And yeah,
do you like day games better or night games better?
I prefer night games.
Really? How come?
Yes. I don't know.
It's
I
nice mean, to play under the
yes,
lights. Just makes under, it feel different
under the lights with yeah. Fans. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it is difficult for fly balls as an infielder.
Yeah.
But other than that, I love playing the night.
Yeah. What kind of gear, like when you play in the field, do you like completely swag yourself out, or are you very simple?
I can say, I come from, I was born here, but I was raised in Venezuela, and most of those people are
I mean, you have your swag, your chain,
sure,
your high socks and all that kind of stuff. I do sometimes, but I mean, I try to keep it simple. I mean, you know, you go over there to pretty much to do your job, you know, have fun. I mean, a lot of people will say, yeah, you look good, you play good. I mean, yeah.
So what are minor league road trips? What are those like? Those are pretty interesting.
Yes, they're miserable.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't know. I mean,
a lot of people, I don't think, know the how...
the process and all that.
The process of... Because
the stuff you were telling me, like, I was blown away. Like, what they... Not what they make you go through, but what you actually experience on a day-to-day basis.
I think a lot of people think...
He's a professional baseball player.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people think, well, he's a professional baseball player. No, unless you're in the major leagues, you're riding the bus.
Yeah. And it's... To be honest, I really do like the process because it's step by step. I mean, if you wanna move up a level, play better.
Oh yeah, I imagine it's like super humbling.
Yes, it is. It is, and then you go over there and you see, okay, I'm right here, but let me push it harder so I can be in a better locker room, pretty much, and just keep going, and then next thing you know, you make it to the bigs, and you're not gonna have any issues with all that kind of stuff.
What is the longest bus ride you've been on?
In
your career.
And, well, with the Phillies, I would say 6 hours.
Okay.
Six hours. But, you know, the good thing about these is that 6 hours, but you get to settle in a little bit. You get there.
Yeah, so what do you do on the bus? 6 hours.
What do I do on the bus?
Yeah.
I have a lot of games on my phone. We like to play a lot of car games. Car games, and we usually play movies. Yeah. I'm very simple guy. I'm very easy to just knock out and sleep to.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're gonna have some guys over there very loud and yelling for some reason. I don't know what's going on with them, but yeah.
I saw a tweet the other day that someone, like a former minor league baseball player, told a story that they were on a road trip and one of their teammates hung like a hammock over the top, like where the luggage is, and he slept on the hammock, like over the top, over the seats.
That's so dangerous.
Very dangerous, but yeah, he just knocked out.
I feel like he got good rest, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
He probably performed very well.
I think so too.
Last question I have for you. Do you have a favorite? Unless Connor has some.
Yeah, I got like one or two more
questions. All right, let's have you knock one out first.
Okay. All right, where are you from? Because you're not from the United States. So where were you born?
Well, I was born in New York.
Okay.
I was born here, but I was raised in Venezuela.
Okay. So how big is baseball in Venezuela?
Venezuela is baseball. Mm-hmm. It's all baseball over there. That's what we do. I mean, that's a lot of their ticket out to come over here and pursue the dream, take care of their family. All my family is over there.
Okay.
Right here I have my mom, my dad, and my little brother.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. I was grateful that my cousin, my uncles were able to come over here this year. And but this was the only year that we've had actual other family coming over here.
Okay.
Because everybody is over there. I was raised over there until 7th grade. I came over here.
That was my next question.
Oh, yeah.
So you came here in 7th grade. I don't know if you remember this, but in 7th grade, so I was in 8th grade, and I was, instead of having, like art or music or whatever, I would go to a former teacher's classroom, and I would help her, like, grade papers or whatever.
Okay.
And I was in 8th grade. It was a 7th grade history class, and I came in, and the teacher was like, hey, Connor, you know, I've got this and this and this for you to do today, whatever. And then she said, and then we have a new student. His name is Jesus. He's from Venezuela, and he doesn't really speak English. So if you could just show him around. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I saw you were wearing, do you remember those bracelets that the bracelets and necklaces that the pros used to wear with like the logo on them, and they were supposed to like increase performance or whatever?
It's like the balance is supposed to create more balance.
Yeah. You were wearing a Seattle Mariners one. Okay.
That was around that time my dad was working
for him. I just remember you wearing that bracelet, and then you didn't speak English that much, correct?
No, I can barely say hi.
Okay. Yeah, I remember asking if you liked baseball because I saw your bracelet. I was like, you like baseball? And you just gave me a thumbs up, and I was like, all right.
He likes baseball. Like, I guess he
new
does.
New friend. So yeah, that was in. So you came here in seventh grade. So how was like? What was life like when you first came here? Like what?
It was a struggle, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of. I mean, I can tell you openly, it was a lot of crying.
Yeah.
Because you know, I left all my friends, mm-hmm. all my family, and just pretty much start new somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have friends. I couldn't speak mm-hmm. the language, and it was very tough. But you know, you have to accept challenges in life, and
yeah.
you know, my dad was able to get a job over here, and we had to move over here, and I was glad that everything happened that way.
Seemed to work out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Seemed to work out awesome. Well. Yeah. That's the first time I met you. So.
Yeah, I couldn't speak English, and I can remember I was cut of the baseball team. I don't know if you remember
who's the coach. I feel like we should send this to the coach. Your pro baseball card.
It was the girl. It was the girl. What's
her? Oh no, I know yeah. her. Yeah, I remember.
She cut me. I mean, she cut me. I thought I did really, mm-hmm. really, really well, and I'm pretty sure she said it was because of the language barrier.
Really?
Which it was.
Does she not watch professional baseball?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't even know why she was the coach anyways.
Fair, yeah.
But, you know, it happened. And then I tried out again in eighth grade. And then we won it all in eighth grade.
Yeah. It's highly unlikely, but I really hope she's listening to this podcast right now. Please, hopefully, we need to find her address, and you just send her a signed card or something. You're like, we could have won it in seventh grade too.
You know? God.
She's going to watch a Phillies game 5 years. Yeah. She's Jesus, why do I know that name? Why do I know that name?
This kid? I think I cut this kid before.
Yeah. All right. Now for real, last question I have for you. What is your absolute favorite moment so far that you've had in your playing career?
My favorite moment, it's very easy. It was being able to play in front of people, a lot of people, and with my family in there too.
Yeah.
I was very lucky. My dad was able to take a couple of days off from his work and coming down with my mom and my little brother to where I was in Pennsylvania and watch me for the first time, watch my first professional game.
Yeah.
I got to play second base, hit the ball really well that day, made really good plays at second. It was just an awesome, awesome day. We won. I will never forget that day.
Yeah, that's cool.
One more. So we play in high school, you played shortstop, I played second base, and please be honest with this. Have you ever turned more double plays with someone other than me?
Nope.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Very, very, very simple.
Philadelphia Phillies, if you're listening, I'm a free agent.
Sign them.
Yeah, please.
I tell you what, it was I had a blast.
You guys have a record, I think.
We had
most double plays in school history.
He didn't want to bring it up, but right. Here we are again. Right. Yeah. We were quick at the bases. No, I had a blast. I was very lucky. I was able to play with Connor at second base, play with Zach Lehman at third, had Blake Perkins too. Even you played.
I was watching from the bleachers.
No, I had a blast, and we made a good place.
Lehman really listens good to place. This, he told me. So I'm sure he's probably just...
When he hears his name, he is going to flip out.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Like, geez, let me listen to these
on
a speaker.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Jesus, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, man.
Super cool to have you. I know Connor and I really
appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. This was awesome.
Yeah, good luck this year. And
for this podcast, when you sign Manny Machado money.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll be on hand.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Yeah. Well, that's for episode 16 of a podcast, Because Nobody Asked For It. We'll talk to you guys later.